W2JKT, KO4HKX.
W2JKT, welcome back.
Just to sit here and wait for this one to warm up.
Heading in the winter time.
Hopefully it doesn't take the truck too long. It warms up pretty quick.
Yeah, I was surprised at how long it took to for the heater system to warm up. It's like 2 or 3 minutes.
It still took a little longer than that, but it's got a much bigger cooling system in it.
The fluid there is in the cabin heater system in this car is probably a couple gallons, though. You know, 2 or 3 minutes. And I think the heater, it's a purely electric heater, and I think it can take up to like 10 kilowatts or something.
Surprised at how little coolant's actually in that cabin cooling system. It's probably gallon and a half.
You know, gallon, maybe 2 gallons, something like that. Probably wouldn't be more than that. I think my truck takes 4 gallons or 5 gallons or something like that. I can't remember, but it's up there.
Yeah, it's amazing how efficient they have gotten some systems over the years, and the cooling system's one of them. They've got them down now to where, you know, they don't use a whole lot of coolant in them. Some cars are down a gallon or less.
To have the thing fail, that's for sure.
It has definitely put their time in on the thermodynamics and how to get that heat transfer out of there quicker.
Lots of surface area in the radiator.
What kind of stuff can you do with that CAT system? Pretty much anything you could with APRS, or has it got more functionality or less?
Through that hole in Woodruff Road where that whatever noise source that is blinds everything out.
And what kind of other functionalities can you do with that CAT system? Is it the same as APRS, or has it got more functionality, or, you know, what's the deal with it?
It's the same functionality, and then, you know, you can do, just like with APRS, I mean, you can use it for pretty much anything. You know, it's really just a data packet system. Yeah, I mean, you know, today it has, you know, position reporting, messaging, telemetry, and things like that. And it just depends on, you know, if you want to, you know, it's pretty infant right now, so you can always, you know, if you want to write software that sends whatever data, you can do that. But, you know, you just have to sit down and do that at the time, you know, at the current time. But right now it supports pretty much everything the APRS supports.
Like I said, I'm curious about it. I hadn't had a chance to look it up yet, but I'll look it up today and do a little more research on it. But it sounds really interesting.
Well, I actually put up a 9600 baud digipeater in Clemson on 70 centimeters just using APRS. And so, you know, I had, you know, the radio in my truck was set to that one, so I could drive around and, you know, peek in at 9600 and send messages and whatever, but I had to be really close, because, you know, the link budgets are pretty low for audio over FM. You know, one of the biggest drawbacks to APRS is that, you know, if you have a short data packet, you'll spend more time keying and locking in than you will sending data, and that gets especially true at 9600. So that's why he went with native FSK, because it was just so much more efficient, both spectrally and from a link budget point of view.
Well, like I said, I'll do some research on it this morning. My first stop, I've got a few minutes before they get there.
I mean, I'm excited enough to design a board and you know, try to buy 200 of them. So, you know, I can sprinkle these things all around Shelby and Charlotte and Gastonia and stuff, and have pretty good coverage. So I have access to, you know, a bunch of different towers there. So we'll see how it goes.
Like I said, that'll be pretty cool, especially if, like, from where I'm at to where you're at, you could make it that jump. That would be pretty neat.
Find somebody in Forest City that can give us tower access, and then maybe somebody one more stop along the way. Power with the 285 machine.
I don't know about that, but I have met the gentleman that's the caretaker for that one, or owns it, but I don't know him.
Well, the answer is always no, so it never hurts to reach out. and just ask the question, hey, you know, we have this new thing, pretty excited about it, and, you know, we'd like to put it up somewhere, so, you know, what do you think?
That, if not, I do know somebody in the same general vicinity of that repeater, but doesn't have quite the coverage.
It'd just be enough for me to get the hardware in. You know, the most expensive piece of the board right now is the GPS module, and, you know, I can't get a really good source on that, so that itself is like $30, which is why I added a DV9 for an external GPS. If somebody's already got one, you know, I can get it without the GPS module on it, and they can just use an external GPS, and, you know, that makes it cheaper, but, yeah, definitely got some technical things to work out before going big and all that, but it's a fun project so far. I spent most of the day Friday on it, good part of the day Saturday on it. I ordered my first boards and they're in production now. I discovered some things I did wrong on that board, and I've already updated the artwork, but I need to get that spun around as well. But so far it's going well.
How's the bug for it anyway?
One. I mean, there are a whole bunch of people. There's a Discord, like some other chat service where they have their collaboration, and there's probably 20 people in there working on it now. So it's really starting to get some legs.
Pretty quick, then.
The original, you know, the guy who cooked all this up, he wrote it in Rust, which is a language that I don't know. And he also, you know, the binary size is too large for the processor I want to use, mainly because he uses a USB stack in the MCU to emulate a serial port instead of just using one of the native serial ports on the micro. So I have a lot to change to get the software down to, I need to get it down to 64K to fit in a much cheaper processor that I want to use. And then once I do that, it'll be golden. But definitely got some hurdles on my own part I need to get over, learning a new language and all that stuff, and trimming it down.
For HGX, yeah, you're talking to something I don't know anything about.
Say that, trying to take costs out of things is definitely a lot of work.
Putting cost on anything can be a hassle.
He's selling his radio on that site for like $70, and it uses like an external GPS that he connects with wires using the same module that I put on the board. But he also used an MCU with like tons of flash and lots of resources, and really expensive. They're like $7 or $8 a piece. And I want to use one that costs like $1 because it has enough resources to do the job as long as the program is small enough to fit on it. So that's going to be the goal, because I can whack, you know, $6 or $7 of cost out of it in one fell swoop just by changing the processor.
Well, you get it done, and like I said, I'll take a little better look at it this morning.
Week, and then when I get the boards in and test it out, I'll be sure to get you one.
Know anything about the mesh-tastic stuff that everybody's been talking about lately?
Heard of it. What is it?
It's kind of along the same lines of what you're talking about. So I don't know a whole lot about it. That's why I was asking if you knew any more about it.
I guess a lot of people are getting tired of how bloated and slow APRS is.
Get stopped this morning. I'll see if I can send you a link to the mesh-tastic stuff that I just been coming up in my YouTube feed quite a bit lately.
I get to a computer this morning. It sounds interesting. I know that there was a meshing effort done a few years ago called HSMM Mesh, and it was like a ham radio guy, you know, made some firmware for these routers, that if you put this firmware on the routers, it would go off into the further into the ham band, and then you can do network meshing and stuff with it. But I don't know if that project is still active, or if that morphed into the one you're talking about, or what. But I'll check it out when I get to a computer.
Be the same thing. I don't know. Like I said, I haven't taken the time to find out a whole lot about it.
Fantastic.
and hung out there for a little while, but I didn't do any radio operations. I was there when he spoke to you on the repeater.
So I went down to where the Shelby Club was set up, and I hung around for a couple hours. So yeah, I left before the thing started. I just kind of went to hang out and talk to folks for a while, and I brought them some of our power stations and stuff to run everything with over the weekend. So yeah, it was a pretty good time.
It's to just kind of hang out and help everybody set up. Just getting on there, making a contact, and transferring that information.
I'm kind of, I don't know, I've never really just been into contesting, but I do enjoy the setup and the takedown much more than I enjoy the operating, so it's, you know, for me it's a lot more fun to be setting everything up and putting the antennas together and measuring everything out and adjusting and getting everything working right.
That's kind of me. I enjoy that part of it a lot more. Don't get me wrong, I think it's a good thing to do. It's just, I don't know, it's not for me just to throw a call out there, make a contact, you know, 1H in North Carolina and move on. It just doesn't appeal to me.
I was actually a few years ago, maybe I should revive this, but I was actually designing a contest, like an MCOM contest, that required that you send specific messages to specific stations that were also in the contest. So you would sign up like ahead of time for this contest, and then everybody would get a packet that had a list of all the stations they had to find and the messages that they had to send to those stations. So there was a lot more to it than just making a cheap contact and moving on. You actually had to do some work and like find somebody, you know, needle in a haystack and get them a message. So I thought that would have been a lot more fun. And I did a lot of work to design it, and I wrote some documents and stuff, but I never really finished it and figured out how I would actually run it. But yeah, maybe I need to look at that again.
That might be a little more interesting because there's a little bit of challenge to it on that side, and more of a pointed direction on what you're trying to do.
I wanted to make it really challenging, like, you know, you really had to, you know, I wanted the point of it to be that, you know, you wouldn't be able to do it, right? You know, you say, like, say you have like 10 messages, you know, you might get half of them through if you're lucky. You know, I wanted it to be something like that where failure was an option, and, you know, it was a real challenge for everybody. But, you know, I think I stopped working on it because I was, you know, going through one of those periods where I'm like, you know, nobody's going to want to do this because nobody wants to do work anymore. So, but yeah, I think it would be fun.
After that, it's definitely easy to get into that mindset out here today, that's for sure.
Today to link you to the documents if you want to look at them. You know, maybe it's something that you, me, and Ken and Andrew want to work on and try to, you know, try to do something with.
Let's do it. It started in our small group.
Pictures and see how they work in real life, because I've only thought about it on paper. I've never actually tried to do it, so it might be fun to try that.
You getting close, Eric?
The copy.
Are you getting close to your destination?
And exit 32 here, and this is about where it starts to go south on me. So I'll say 73, Patrick. You have a good day. Drive safe out there, and hope you get a lot of customers today. So 73, have a good one. W2JKT, I'll be clear on your final.
Okay, I hope you have a great day also. KO4HKX, and I'll be clear.